listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeah, I'm so bright, not shady. My teeth and my ice so white like shady. The ice in my teeth so refrigerated. I'm so fucking good, I should be sleeping with Megan. And I'm about my Franklins, Lincolns, and Reagans. Whenever they make them, I shall have them. Oops, I mean have them. I'm so crazy. But if you play crazy, you'll be sleeping with daisies. And I'm such a havoc. Oops, I mean havoc. And my drink's still pinker than the Easter rabbit. And I'm still cold like Keisha's family. Stove on my waist turned beef to patties. And I ate it cause I'm so at it. And I don't front and I don't go backwards. And I don't practice and I don't lack shit. And you can get buried. Suck my bat, bitch. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
Life as a dawn, life keep going. That's right, guys. It's the Blackout Tips on a Sunday, football Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Getting started late in the morning. Getting ready to talk about all kinds of stuff that's happening. Of course, you can find us on iTunes. Search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews if you want to have them read on the show when we do our feedback show. Just make sure they're positive. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored, is double sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Doll Productions. They have an audio play out that is not found on any album. It's called Passengers. So you can dive into some Rod and Karen comedy for just 99¢. Me and Karen are essentially passengers on a plane, and we're about to go on a flight. And of course, hilarious hijinks ensue. All you have to do is go on iTunes, search Passengers featuring Jenna Simon, J-E-N-N-A Simon, and be sure to pick it up and give us some ratings and some comments. It helps everybody out when you do that. And of course, we're also brought to you by Bevel, okay? Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT and get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com today. That's GetBevel.com. All right. We'll get into some news and stuff.
Okay.
All kinds of things have been happening. I guess first and foremost, there was an intentional explosion in New York, which is weird because like they had another explosion that happened in New Jersey at like this military marathon thing. Nobody got injured because it seemed like this trash can bomb or whatever, pipe bomb in the trash can, it went off early and so people weren't injured. And then in New York, same day, which about 90 minutes away, there was this intentional explosion that injured 29 people. Now no one died, and I believe everyone's been released from the hospital as of now, but
I sound like that might be the same person.
Yeah. Or you know, group. Yeah, maybe a person or terrorism or something, I don't know. At any rate, everybody's out and they're okay and stuff. I'm assuming if they've been released from the hospital, but yeah, it was a explosion. They also said they had turned up a secondary device 4 blocks away consisting of a pressure cooker with wires attached to it. So it's just like the Boston Marathon bombs that was set off. CNN citing law enforcement resources reported that a piece of paper with writing on it was found nearby. Residents living nearby were advised to stay away from windows facing the street as a precaution.
Y'all put that nigga on the front of Time. Was it Time magazine? The fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Said one person was seriously injured. But I guess everybody else was okay. So there you go, man. That's just what a weird ass thing to do. Terrible way to start the morning, of course. Also, what else is happening that I wanted to talk about? Well, you know, actually, we haven't done this in a while.
Ah!
wanna ask you, there's something that I wanna know. If to this question you have the answer, so tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? That's right, LGBT news. Now let's talk about all this sad shit that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh man, and it is a sad one, y'all.
Oh Lord,
good God!
I'm glad I brought it up front then.
Yeah, I was looking at the stories coming in this one, just like Jesus Christ. Oh God, no! This is worse. Yeah, let's just get into it. Apparently, if you've been listening to the show, long enough, I feel like you should already know this, but we as a society treat transgender people like shit, and specifically transgender women of color get treated the worst of the worst. A transgender woman was stabbed 119 times.
God damn. I don't put it like this. You stab somebody that much, it's some hatred in there. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. This wasn't no flash in the bucket. There was some passion behind that. And it only, passion doesn't always have to be sexual, but there was some emotions behind that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 119 times. No excuses, no.
Right!
There's no reasoning left for that. I gotta turn up the volume. I forgot because they have an article attached to this one. I forgot I silenced this yesterday. Let me see if that worked.
Allen was the sole witness to take the stand during DeWanya Hickerson's preliminary hearing. He says autopsy results show that Wiggum was stabbed 119 times, mostly to her face, and her throat was slashed 3 times. Allen says the murder weapon was a 10-inch fixed blade Gerber knife. Allen says surveillance video taken at the Best Western Hotel in St. Martin shows Hickerson and Wiggum walking into the hotel room together around 8:30 p.m. Allen told the court that about 23 minutes later, Hickerson is seen leaving the room alone, as seen on this footage. Allen says at 9:45, Wiggum's friends returned to the hotel and immediately called 911. He says Hickerson took a Coach bag belonging to Wiggum, as well as her cell phone and a few personal items. He says authorities found those items on the beach not far from Keesler Air Force Base, and that they found Hickerson's bloody clothes in a dumpster not far from his barracks on base. They have sent the items to the crime lab for testing. Allen says investigators are still trying to determine the relationship between Hickerson and Wiggum.
Yeah, so, who knows what the relationship is? It could be... it could be relationship, it could be sex work type thing, because I know in a lot of cases transgender people are kind of forced into that area of life because people won't hire them and things like that. Could just be a straight up hate crime, like just for whatever, you know. Yeah.
Targeted her.
Yeah, once again, black man as the person doing this, I'm never gonna try to gloss over that shit because it does matter.
It does.
Oftentimes we try to like
over that.
Yeah, well, people try to, you know, well, just this is one dude, but I mean, when we're looking at the pattern of death in this situation, because we don't know the actual numbers of transgender people in the United States because it's not on the census, but I'm assuming that the number is probably not very high. So when you look at how many people are getting killed, it's actually even more astounding to think this many, especially transgender women of color, are getting killed by black men. That's fucking ridiculous, you know? So yeah, that was one. and 119 times mostly in the face. Like, that sounds like somebody you know, or so, or just a crime of passion or type mm-hmm. type thing. A transgender woman, Crystal Edmonds, was slain in Baltimore. Another transgender woman of color also. So yeah, a black transgender woman with a bullet in the back of her head was found by the police 3:18 a.m. bleeding out on the sidewalk. Edmonds died in the hospital a few hours later. Smith told reporters that he was unsure whether Edmonds' identity as a transgender woman played a role in the death. I heard the shots. This area is getting so bad. I heard the shots, and then my cousin called me, and she said she called the police. Sandra Johnson, a resident of Northwest Baltimore, told WBAL. Residents and police said the area is notorious for sex work, though they are unsure if sex work played a role in this death. We've had some complaints about prostitution, Smith told reporters. We had some complaints about some illegal activity, so that's part of our investigation. We're not prepared to say that played a direct role in this, but it's certainly something we will follow up as a possible lead. According to the Baltimore Police Twitter account, they are offering a $2,000 reward for any information leading to arrest. Yeah, and who knows, you know, who knows what happened out there, but we do know that another transgender woman of color dead. Let's see, there's another one too. Let's just get this all out of the way now. I mean, it's all, you know, all this to make a point in a second,
right?
At any rate, there's been an arrest for a July killing of a transgender woman, Daniquia Dodds. On Thursday, police arrested Shireem Hall, of the July 4th shooting. For the July 4th shooting of a transgender woman, Daniquia Dodds, NBC Washington reports, Dodds died 9 days after she was shot. In all likelihood, we believe the motive in this case was robbery. So, and for the record, it could have been robbery in that first person we talked about, because it sounded like that dude stole the phone and items property, and shit.
Yeah.
But even then, the reason you pick targets in a lot of these cases, because either you don't think people will investigate, you don't think people will take it seriously. Mm-hmm. We've seen the sentencing for these,
right? And truth be told, let's just keep this real. I know you know, black people's lives aren't valued at all, but black women's lives are valued even less, and that's something that, you know, people don't want to talk about when it comes to a lot of this shit. You know, it's one of these things where Browndale,
well, black transgender women are even less. Yeah, like, yeah, we saw that.
I count them as women, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I know, but I think the court sees a difference. Oh, okay. I think it matters.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because that, yeah, you know, we've seen cases where it's like, yeah, you're guilty, 5 years of for murder? Like, you kill somebody, and it's like, yeah, well, you know, the whole transgender thing, I mean, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. Like, that, like, you wouldn't do that for a person that was cisgender. You wouldn't. True. you know what I mean? Just not that, not when you're guilty of murdering them, you wouldn't be like, and then you get 5 years. That's fucking, that's ridiculous. So yeah, they think it was a case of a robbery. Hall was charged with murder while armed. Newsham said hate crime charges and enhanced penalty will be serious consideration. According to Newsham, Hall did not know Dodds, so they don't know if so maybe they don't know if he knew her or orientation or whatever. Whenever we lose a life in the city, we take it personal. We want folks to know that we are going to continue to work to make sure the whole people responsible for this kind of violence in our streets. At the time of her death, Ruby Corrado, the founder and executive director of Washington DC transgender advocacy organization Casa Ruby, said in a statement to Mike that Daniquia was part of the Casa Ruby family and she is gone but not forgotten. Her death will not be in vain. Corrado added, Casa Ruby denounces the genocide of young trans women of color. People in leadership need to address the employment barriers that keep trans women of color from accessing the resources they need to grow healthy and thrive. Joanne Lewis, who raised Dodds, worried about her safety because Dodds was involved in sex work. She described Dodds as a beautiful person who loved to make you laugh. When Dodds was killed in July, she was the 14th non-transgender or gender non-conforming person killed in 2016. Now, with Friday's news of the death of Baltimore's Crystal Edmonds, the number has risen to 21, which matches the total number of deaths from 2015. And it's just, we just got into September. So yeah, that's all terrible.
Yeah, and I think the thing for me, excuse me, that frustrates me is that there are black transgender people, and you're right, if it was a normal I guess considered straight person, mm-hmm. Even though it's hard for us to get hate crimes, a lot of times they were like, okay, that's right there, you did this because they're black. But for some reason, when it comes to transgender, you don't want to label things as a hate crime when it's laid out flat in front of your face that they did this because of this person's sexual orientation.
Possibly. I mean, one, I understand hate crimes are hard to prove. I definitely understand that. If the person doesn't come out and say, I did this for this reason. But in some cases, it's flat out a hate crime. Like, I don't know about these cases we just said, if I'm being 100% honest. If you don't know the victim, if all this other shit, I don't know.
Still investigating things.
It's
like
hard.
Yes.
It is hard for me to believe it had nothing to do with it. It's very difficult for me to believe. In a lot of cases,
zero factor.
Right, and in a lot of cases, when it comes to like the sexual part of it, I think there's a lot of men who hate women, who hate LGBTQ folks. They'll have sex with a person that's LGBTQ, they'll have sex with a woman, but then that rage and shit, they'll kill somebody because of what they think that says about them, you know.
Right.
It's still
less
ultimate,
about the other person and more about them.
Yeah, it's still ultimately a selfish, hate-filled crime. I don't know if it's always cut and dry. I mean, we had that case a couple months ago where this man who was living with this transgender woman's mom basically killed this transgender woman, called her the devil and all this shit, and the house seemed to be like just a really shitty place to live. And even in that case, they were like, yeah, we can't say it's a hate crime. It's like, well, they call her devil all the time, they misgendered her in death, it seems like they completely put an environment of hate around her, and then one of them killed her. How is that not a hate crime?
Yeah, and that's just that. And it's funny though, they kind of treat it like with black people and racism. It's like, well, you ain't call him a nigger and hang him from a tree and get a mob, so is it really racism? It's one of these things where, well, you didn't call them names, and you know, so as far as we're concerned, we're not taking it seriously. It's like, but motherfucker, it's seriously because it's affecting me right now.
No, it's obvious. I mean, they do the same thing with black hate crimes.
Right.
They do the same thing with what did he say, nigger, when he punched you in the face? It's like, well, they did this because I'm black. And it's like, well, you can't prove it, you know. I don't know what you do with this.
Right.
I was born polygamous. Outrageous Muslim who runs second wife dating site says wanting multiple partners is natural as being gay. Azad Chaiwala runs two websites, secondwife.com and polygamy.com. Oh yeah, I signed up the other day.
I hope you get one that loves to cook and clean.
They just let us know. He claimed polygamous men are born that way on Good Morning Britain. Just the men got away. Everybody ever notice that these theories always are like, just the men are born polygamous? Like, the dudes, that's how you know it's full of shit. Cause the dudes are never like, listen, women don't want to be with one man. Men don't want to be with one woman. I don't want to be with the same gender. I just want to fuck and love and be married to everybody. Like, it's always like, the man is king of the house. And if he wants to have 17 wives, if he can afford it, that's all that matters. Like, it's
and
always like,
goes the other way around.
And that person always gets to be the spokesperson. Cause there's plenty of polyamorous and polygamous relationships and marriages that work, but those people don't seem to be like wanting to go on the Today Show, or maybe they just don't get asked to be on the Today Show to represent because they're not going to have as controversial views, because it's a lot more like, people can do what they want, you know, as opposed to, listen, all men have a lot of seeds in them and they need to plant them, and all the women. Pierce Morgan called him a bit randy and called the site backdoor Sharia law. Way to make it worse, Pierce. Jesus Christ. Aaliyah Brown, a site member, defended the woman's choice to be a second wife. I personally have no problem with people in poly relationships. I think it's a little gamey when you see dudes talking like this about how it's just men that need to be having the numerous wives, and that seems a little weird, in my opinion. There's always this assumption that women's sexuality is completely different and devoted to one person, and only men would look at another person and want to fuck them or marry them or fall in love with them or whatever, or take care of them, because it's always like founded in this weird like men take care of women thing. But we haven't really had that in so long. Like, this isn't, I have to have three wives so that we can have enough children to
plant the farm.
Yeah, to plant the crops and shit when we're 60 and we can basically have them do all the work. Like, it's just, like, it's not that anymore. So, you know, there's not a war going on where it's like we need to procreate enough soldiers at some point. So we need to, I have to have seven wives to protect the orphans and the children that have not been, you know, it's not that. It's just a lot of like, I'm trying to fuck me some women's, you know? So it just seems kind of weird, but, you know, if you find people that are signed up for it, good luck for you, man. And I don't know about being born polygamous. I would, that, like, equating it with being born gay seems weird. And then, especially if he's Muslim, then I want to ask, like, so how, what are your feelings towards gay people then?
Come on.
Is it a sin? Is it like, do you, with your open-mindedness towards polygamy, then are you open-minded towards homosexuality as well? Are you open-minded towards the LGBTQ community?
Could they be polygamous?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm, yeah, could they, yeah, could I be polygamous in a same-sex relationship?
Right.
Could I have multiple partners? Like, I would love to see that fleshed out. Unfortunately, he went on Pierce Morgan's show, so obviously those questions weren't asked.
That dude, the worst.
We are such better interviewers than these people on TV. He just wanted to say Sharia law and Muslims are scary. That's all.
That's it.
That's all Pierce Morgan wanted to say.
He really could give a fuck about anything else, and he has no substance to anything to say, because the only time he even comes up is when he's saying some fuck shit.
He probably blamed Beyonce for somehow. Figured a way to work her in there.
Yeah, of course. She's to blame because feminism is the problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Steal Your Girl, Grandma, Irvin Randall allegedly exposed by his boyfriend.
Oh, shit now.
Yeah, apparently people are saying he had an ex, quote unquote, who has been putting out pictures circulating. Oh. No hip hop news, calm down. Don't need the hip hop version of this. But yeah, apparently Mr. Steal Your Grandma might be Mr. Steal Your Grandson, according to this.
I said Mr. Steal Your Granddaddy. Or dad.
No, they say grandson, because it's a young
grandson.
Yeah, it's a much younger dude who's pictured with him and saying, this is my ex. And it's like pictures of them laying in bed together, pictures of them, you know, going places and stuff. And I guess the person who posted it is openly gay and says, he posted a collage of pictures of them together and said, birthday week with the ex, but past is the past, hashtag good times. And you know, one, I don't know that people knew if Mr. Steal Your Grandma was gay or not. I know he's been getting booked at gigs and stuff and at clubs and shit to like appear. I know women have been, well, at least it started with women lusting over him. At this point, I don't know what, if it's still going, because it seemed like a lot of women are kind of like, have been clowning him because he started really buying into it, and it was like, oh god, shut up, you know. You know, it don't take much for women.
Now, and not only that, you know what? Maybe this is sexist, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Sometimes dudes look at women and they be like, don't talk, just shut up and be pretty. We think that about y'all sometimes. I'm not even gonna lie. We be like, why can't you just be eye candy and just shut the fuck up and let me gaze upon you and just enjoy what you look like?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is,
that goes both ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it just takes, it's easy to ruin a fantasy, you know. You know, particularly
because there's a lot of fine men, they open up their mouth, you're like, oh my gosh, you're fucking dumb.
And in this day and age, when a picture is really what puts somebody on, sometimes a meme, it's so easy to like have the illusion of that just shattered because you talk, you say something, you start sounding stupid, you know, whatever, you on some hotel shit or who knows. At any rate, he started getting clowned and it was a wrap, you know, which was kind of funny, you know, cause to me it was just a joke, like, oh man, everybody went from liking that dude to he ain't shit. That was real quick. That was like an internet record.
Yep.
Well, apparently, you know, he's now being, and like I said, it was the appeal to women that really moved this, to like the club openings. And so it's lucrative for him now.
Right.
So this is almost a shot at his business now.
That's not about it. I didn't think about it. He might be bisexual.
He could be.
Right.
This isn't definitive. Well, he put on his Instagram post or Facebook post, kind of clearing the air, so I don't think he's even saying he's bisexual. He's saying, he put a post on Facebook and said, when you're old and looking so fine and women all over the world has crush on you, he's such a grandpa, has crush on you, jealous young men will start spreading the gay rumor, in quotes. I have nothing against gays. How somebody chooses to live their lives is none of my business. I'm not homophobic, but I'm not gay, in caps lock. Young men, instead of hating, wake up and go to the gym. Peace out. I'm all yours, ladies.
Does he mean gay no more?
He just said I'm not gay.
Okay.
That's it. So I don't know, man. I just think it's fucked up to out somebody if that's not how he was living, you know what I mean? Maybe within the community that's viewed differently, because I'm not part of the gay community, so correct. I don't know, but that seems kind of fucked up, you know, to be like, yeah, I'm outing you know what I mean? But whatever, it's not my life. But yeah, that happened. The first Republican legislator to seek HB2 repeal, Wake Senator Tamara Barringer, came out against HB2 right after it cost the state, North Carolina, a whole bunch of money.
Y'all, we losing money like crazy. One out of every nine people that live in Mecklenburg County is associated with, particularly the city of Charlotte, it's associated with some form of the hospitality, hotel, or food industry. That is a lot of goddamn people. And you have these things that are leaving and disappearing. You have people that book shit like months and months, and sometimes renew shit for the next year because they almost are guaranteed this money. And so when people start canceling, a lot of times you hit fees and penalties, because sometimes you get these venues, for those of you, you know, that don't know, understand how the business goes, and they'll say you can't cancel 30 days or 40 days, however it is. So some people are just canceling and people can't get their money back. So this is money you invested that you can't get back. These are venues you put money down on that you can't get back, particularly that football one, because that football one was huge here. The College Bowl they do at the Bank of America Stadium, it is huge here, because I mean, it literally sells out. Schools kind of come. I know a lot of times West Virginia gets it. I've seen West Virginia several years. And so you have all the people that travel. Not only does it benefit North Carolina, it literally benefits South Carolina too, because like where we're at the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. So a lot of people who maybe, you know, North Carolina is packed a book, will actually go down to a Fort Mill or Rock Hill and, you know, some of the surrounding counties, and they end up profiting and benefiting off of this too. So all of a sudden you're affecting the economy more in North Carolina, but you also affecting the economy of South Carolina. You're affecting businesses. A lot of times they have seasonal workers, so you have people that do this money right before Christmas time. All this money is gone.
Yep. NCAA leaving, we lost college football championships, soccer, like white sports, by the way, that matters a lot. The monetized sports, of course, like football and basketball, that matters a lot. I'd say college sports are even more of a sacred thing for people down in the South, especially bigots, because it's one of the things that if you don't like black people, you can still kind of support, because the way that college rules are set up, those kids don't have much agency, and it's all about the coaches and the programs, and you can kind of live in this fantasy world where, you know, you're enjoying seeing this, and white kids are still able to contribute at this level for the most part, white American born kids for the most part. So it's completely looked viewed differently than pro sports. So losing like an NBA All-Star game to a lot of these bigoted ass motherfuckers, they don't really care. But to lose their college basketball and their college football, all of a sudden you hit them right in the sweet spot. And yeah, that's why you have people coming out now saying, I want it to be repealed, even though I'm a Republican.
And even though I probably voted for the shit.
Yeah, that's a huge break in the ranks. To say that she did vote for HB2 in March. She said she still doesn't want boys or men to be able to use women's locker rooms or bathrooms. Yeah, the money, she know what it is.
Yeah, because me and Roger talked about this, and I will continue to say this, they didn't care as long as it affect the niggas and as long as it affect the LGBTQ. You know, nobody cares about these fuck ass laws that you got them trying to pass, but the second it starts affecting your economy and the people in your vote district, because the thing is, it's November, it's time to reelect some of these motherfuckers. And they was like, dog, my county's falling apart, we have money not coming in, my constituents are like, motherfucker, what happened to our money? People that was even vote this bill are like, nah, dog, because it was never about the goddamn bill in the first place. So it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I was cool with the bill until shit started affecting me. And the thing is, shit that affects brown people, LGBTQ, they will eventually affect white people, but white people don't see that until it affects them. Then they give a fuck.
Yeah, the other thing was Wake County was scheduled to host several NCAA sporting events that were canceled Monday.
Mm-hmm. That Raleigh Durham area.
Yeah, is Wake County Raleigh Durham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's Raleigh Durham, yeah.
So yeah, they lost that shit, you know? At any rate, HB2, had a lawsuit against the feds, which was a duplicate lawsuit. They already had like an appeal in the, I don't know if it was state court or what, but they already had like a lawsuit going, and then McCrory doubled down and was like, I'm suing twice now.
Right. Oh, that shit was so fucked up.
Well, he has now dropped one of the lawsuits.
Which one?
The second one. He dropped one of the lawsuits.
Because they went and they was like, nah, dog, and Loretta Lynch and them was like, hey, we gonna give y'all so many days to drop this, and if y'all don't, we gonna sue you. Pat McCoy's like, fuck it, we'll sue you first.
Right.
They say, bitch, what's wrong with you?
So yeah, he dropped the lawsuit so that they won't have two very similar lawsuits in different jurisdictions going at the same time. Now, it doesn't mean much, you know, like, because you still had a one lawsuit. So
they just dropped them fucking both. Oh, I can't wait till November. They gonna vote his ass the fuck out of here.
All right, let's get into some other news going on here. A Virginia town is forgiving parking tickets in exchange for donated canned food.
Good.
Yeah, this should catch on. I hope everybody does this. You know,
y'all have a lot of money, because where we are is a little different. I mean, because we do have street parking, but it's nothing compared to some areas where.
Well, hold up now. You don't even know what town this is.
Oh, what town is this?
It's just Strasburg, Virginia. So it's not some majorly it's not downtown DC. It's not Atlanta.
No, it's not. But when you talk about spreading, like going to other places, I was like, it will be beneficial to these places if some of these larger cities that, you know, you 1 second over, and sometimes before your meter goes out charges you, like, this would be something that I could see spreading.
Yeah, I don't know if it was spread or not.
Because they want that money. They don't want your canned goods.
Yeah, I would like to see it spread, but I doubt it will, because, you know, most police
money
are just
talk.
Yeah, they're just interested in stripping, taxing the community via these stupid ass parking tickets,
because it keeps their payroll.
But you give 10 cans of food to the police department and they'll wipe your ticket clean. And then they donate the food to Compassion Cupboard of Strasbourg. So cool, man.
Which is wonderful. So they can help people, more people out in the community.
Mm-hmm. But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs in the community. Here's some sad news. A man who, this is in the wrong section. Let me move this. Give me 1 second. Hold on. That goes in fucking with black people. That's better. All right, let's do some different news in there. Sorry about that, everybody.
Okay.
Here's some news. Nick Gordon is legally responsible in Bobby Christina's death. Bobby Christina Brown, of course, she died.
That was her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And the family had always been against him and shit.
Right, and they had been investigating him for a long time.
Yeah, well, he's been ruled legally responsible, so that he's now civilly liable. I don't think it's a criminal case. He failed to appear for the second time in Atlanta, Georgia court Friday morning in the wrongful death lawsuit filed by the Brown estate, last year. Because Gordon has failed to appear twice, the judge said anything alleged by the plaintiff is admitted through omission. The judge will now determine the amount of damages to be awarded the Brown estate. The suit is asking for $50 million. Man, he didn't even show up. Wow.
Oh, they were like, oh, you ain't show up? We don't care about that. We're going to proceed on without your ass.
Yeah, maybe he's just determined, like, y'all ain't going to collect this money.
On Friday, more than a year after Bobby Christina's tragic death, her boyfriend Nick Gordon.
I did not say play that. So yeah, at any rate, that's horrible news. Coolio got arrested in a Los Angeles airport.
Heard that name in a long time.
I guess he couldn't go on his fantastic voyage.
Mm-mm. Did it do something to his hair, or is he still trying to hold on to them dreads?
I don't know. They didn't have a current picture of him. I just know he has the two devil dread looking things going.
How old is this man? His 50s?
I don't know.
I will Google this.
There you go. Let's see. Oh, here it is. He's 58 years old.
It's oh, he article. Almost 60.
Yep. He said the Coolio. Damn, he still got a crew. A member of his crew apparently said the bag was his to watch, with difference from a witness account claiming the bag belonged to Coolio. Coolio's rep says his client is being detained for questioning and is fully cooperative with authorities as they investigate the incident. Yeah, carrying a loaded gun into an airport just seems like something that should never happen, but I'm assuming with the many guns we have in this country, it probably happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. It depends on who you are. Sometimes probably depend on if you get charged.
Yeah. Well, I guess he won't arrive at his trip at his destination, which was Gangster's Paradise.
Nope, you ain't gonna make it there, boo boo.
Congrats to Tracy Ellis Ross. She's the first black woman in 30 years to be nominated for Best Comedy Actress Emmy. Sexy ass.
Mm-hmm. She's
gorgeous. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so she's the first. She's getting nominated for her role as Rainbow Bo Johnson on Blackish. And she said, at this age, at this point in my career, to be the first time nominee is extraordinary. To be nominated, this is her first time being nominated. Wow. To be nominated on behalf of a show that I'm so proud of. I have not yet gotten married or had a baby, and this is pretty up there on the list. Oh, so I still got a chance. All right. Maybe I could trap her. The last person to get nominated for this, the last black woman, Felicia Rashad, is Claire Huxtable in the 85 and 86.
See, y'all mean to tell me, we ain't really talked about this during this time, there was nobody worthy of being nominated?
No black women were funny, guys. We all know this.
None. No brown people, none.
No black women are funny for 30 years, and then Tracy Ellis Ross showed up. That means during Living Single, Martin, so many shows. It's just like, nope.
Shows. And me and Roger talked about this. Because a lot of people who vote on this shit are white, and they hear black shows, or they quote unquote put them in black categories, versus looking at shit across the board. They don't even pay these shows any attention. That's why a lot of times people are not nominated.
Yep. Cat Williams got arrested. Let me know if you heard this one before. He got arrested for his 8th time. Which means he gets one more time, and then his rewards card means that arrest is free. So keep going, Cat. You might be able to make it.
Almost there.
Yep. Cat Williams getting arrested is just, at this point, set your clock by it.
Almost a running joke.
Yeah, like it's happening that often.
Oh, man, I ain't worried about jail, man. What you sound like a bitch.
Bitch.
Man, I ain't worried about jail. Shit, man, I don't give a damn about going to jail. Take me to jail.
Take me to jail.
Lock me up.
Lock me up.
Throw away the key.
Throw away the key.
I ain't afraid to fuck somebody in his ass.
Hey, yeah, that's pretty much Cat at this point. Police charged him with criminal damage, but he walks free after posting $10,000 bond. He must be so rich, because he don't even be worried about this shit, man. He really did. I believe him now when he said, "I fuck $1 million bitches with your $3 pussy ass bitch." Like, I believe that shit.
It is,
because he must. Apparently, he found himself in police custody yet again on Thursday, marking the 8th time this year that the popular comedian has been picked up by authorities. Are people going to his stand-up? Like, that seemed dangerous. He come to your town, it's like, just stay indoors like the zombies outside. Like, I'm not even going to the grocery store when he in town. Mm-mm. Shit might pop off.
Right, in the middle of the Harris Teeter. No, thank you.
He's 45 years old. He was picked up in Georgia on criminal damage to property in the second degree charge, and he was released shortly after his arrest when he posted a $10,000 signature bond. The alleged crime actually occurred back in February 28th, and this is now the third time the police have arrested him on a charge related to that date. The same date? Damn, he must have just had an episode that day. There are no specific details about the comedian's latest crime at the time, but five women did come forward earlier this year claiming that on this same day, Williams punched one of them and then pulled out a gun on the group before running off with all of their phones. The alleged altercation between Williams and the five women took place at 2:30 a.m. outside an Atlanta club when Williams grew angry with the women because they asked for a picture with him and began filming on their phones. Williams later admitted to pulling out a gun and said he did indeed punch one woman, but claimed it was self-defense after she tried to steal a chain from his neck. He was reportedly with a 15-person entourage at the time. 15 people. Yo, he gonna be like Iverson. How can he afford all them people in the entourage? He was previously booked on an early, at this point, he's just a criminal occasionally doing stand up, right? This is like, between arrests, I do stand up, and I'm really fucking good at it. Williams was previously booked in March on charge of simple battery and theft for an incident that occurred on February 28th, and 5 days after that arrest was taken into custody for an additional simple battery on that date. The first arrest of the year for Williams came February 29th, Black History, when he was charged with battery after he punched a clerk at a pool store in Gainesville. He got a long rap sheet. Mm-hmm. And that's just this year. So, yep. Good luck on that next one, man. Get a free burrito with the 10th arrest. let's see what else happened. Okay, that's in the wrong category. Let's move that. Oh, a woman said that her... she gonna have to sue a sex toy company because they violated her privacy. It's a very popular sex toy called the Wii Vibe. I believe we covered that on the show. The Wii Vibe Rave is a G-spot simulator. Mm-hmm. You purchase a smartphone app called the Wii Vibe Connect. Using the app, couples can text, video chat, mm-hmm. and even control the device from a distance. However, the app also transmits some usage details, including times it's used, at what vibration, to Standard Innovation, the Canadian manufacturer of Wii Vibes. If an app user chooses to register an email address, the information can also be sent to the company. The woman, known only by the initials NP, brought the vibrator on in May for $130, and soon after downloading the app, she claimed she was not aware that each time she turned on the app, the company was collecting data. So they go, she like, oh no, this company go, no, I'm a hoe. Oh, they know I like it strong and long. Oh no, no. Oh, they know exactly how to bump my clit.
Oh, did she hit click agree?
She must have. I don't know. The device made headlines this summer at DEF CON, an annual hackers conference. In one presentation, hackers explained that Standard Innovation collects data on the device temperature and vibration speed in real time. They also claim to have discovered a security flaw, which has not been fixed yet, that could allow hackers to take over the device. The lawsuit claims the device violates the Federal Wiretap Act and Illinois' eavesdropping law by capturing electronic communications without consent. So, yep, she gonna sue. She might have a case.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, not trying to find something like that. To me, I know we click on a lot of shit and say, yeah. But it's one of those things where she was like, that should have been in bold fucking writing. Like, that's not something you put in the fine print and be like, oh, well.
I mean, obviously, the case is going to be very stimulating and probably shake some things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, we'll see if she's able to get a couple G's mm-hmm. spot.
It's going to be a hard, long, and rough case.
Gonna be pretty rigid is what I would imagine. we'll definitely keep our fingers on the pulse of that one, guys. speaking of porn, Russia has banned two porn sites in Russia. And they told outraged users to meet someone in real life instead.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Basically, just go get a life. We don't,
No, how you gonna tell me to go get a life? I'm using the site, not you, bitch.
Mm-hmm. That's not my motto. Everybody knows my motto when it comes to this kind of, sexual proclivities, okay?
Be whoever you want to be. Love whoever you want to love.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, for some people, porn is safer than actually going out and reaching people to getting diseases and shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russia banned two major porn sites and tells outraged users to meet someone in real life instead. They bought Pornhub and YouPorn.
Those are two major ones, too.
Can't believe this is Donald Trump's boys. Message explains they've been blocked by a decision of public authorities. Users have taken to social media to express their outrage at the decision. And in response to the outrage, the agency behind the move has reiterated advice issued on Twitter last year following the ban of 11 popular porn sites, telling disgruntled users to meet someone in real life.
So are they just anti-porn now?
Apparently Russia don't fuck with porn.
But it depends on who you are. You bet the same people still have access to them sites.
How?
They banned it, but guarantee you somebody in the CSI team, the people that banned it probably still got access to it. Wouldn't surprise me if they were still using it. It was like, y'all are normal motherfuckers? Nah.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I mean, human innovation has been very often tied to orgasming, so maybe they will find a way around it. But
oh yeah, they will.
Because I had to go back to the old school DVDs. I bet the DVD markup just went way through the roof up there.
CD sales, DVDR.
CD? What kind of CD porn you watching?
That's CD, DVD.
You listening to porn?
DVD. Ain't it might back in the day.
Alright. Let's see what else happened. Oh, got some hope, y'all. So, you know, I was like, I don't know if we're going to get this Mary J. Blige album because it might be pretty whack. Sound like a pretty amicable breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But Kendu Isaacs, her former husband, wants Mary J. Blige to pay spousal support. So it look like we got a chance, y'all. Can't be going too good. He wants some money. He filed a response to her divorce petition, and it's clear one of the many things they don't see eye to eye on is spousal support. He asked Mary to fork it over, but in her docs, Mary says she wants the court to block him from getting it. That ain't fair, Mary. Now, you know he was your lover and your secretary, working every day of the week. Kendu lists July 25th as the date of separation, even though she said it was to be determined. It's interesting because all their assets could be shared up until that date, and Mary's clearly the breadwinner. It's still unclear if they have a prenup. And also, Kendu wants her to pay his lawyer fees. So, there you guys go, man.
Yeah, this is probably
going to
be
very, very ugly. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's get into some other stuff. Do some fucking with black people. Is that what the kids are doing these days? That's what y'all into? A little bit of fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles and we rate them from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Here's one. Mark Jacobs, who is some type of fashion designer type person. A lot of black people support him. A lot of black people love him. He says that he does not see color after being accused of racial insensitivity for having mainly white models in his runway show wear dreadlocks.
White models wear dreadlocks.
Yeah, as part of the fashion accessorizing or whatever. I guess it was really important to complete the look. And that look was one of dreadlocketness. You can see the picture. I'm going to put it in the chat right there. That's these white women wearing these very colorful dreadlocks tied up into their obviously regular ass hair.
Get the fuck out of here.
So Karen is not a fan. I take it. He is defending himself against allegations of racial insensitivity after he used dreadlocks in his New York fashion show, but cast mainly white models to wear them. It's funny because Kanye West had all those black and brown women out there, but then he had them out there in the sun passing out and shit. And then, other people just don't even feel an obligation to even look for black women to put into their shows. It's, this fucking world is so stupid, man. while some criticized what they saw as a case of cultural appropriation, Jacob said he saw only people and not their race.
Get the fuck out of here.
To all who cry cultural appropriation or whatever nonsense about any race or skin color wearing their hair in any particular style or manner.
So that's nonsense now?
Nonsense. Funny how you don't criticize women of color for straightening their hair.
Why don't you shut the fuck up? Nobody here wants to listen to your misguided bullshit.
Yeah, see, the thing about that is the conformity of people that have been subjugated is not necessarily appropriation. Like, it's not like there's always been this equal footing. You know, black women have had their hair forcibly straightened. Black women have been considered ugly for not having straightened hair, lighter skin, blue eyes, things of that nature. It's like saying, well, it's just fucking stupid, man. There's no defense to it. It's just stupid, man. And it's because he felt attacked and he wanted to pull the, we're all equals. I don't even think about those kind of things. It's like, well, it's because you don't think about it that it's stupid, man. I'm not going to pretend that I'm like, I saw the picture of these white women in dreads and got all mad and shit. I really didn't. I saw the picture and it was like, that's going to cause problems for him. That's right. That's about as much as I take cultural appropriation. I'm not a really big person when it comes into that realm, because I don't know the rules of when people are okay with that shit and when they're not,
and it varies depending on who you are, so I don't really think there's any rules as much as people want to claim.
Yeah,
or the rules vary for individual person or group.
Yeah, I think what happens is in situations like this when the critique is leveled at you and your basic response is I don't give a fuck, that's when it seems odd to me. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, you ain't shit. You know what I mean? Because you could just not respond, or you could be like, well, that's not how I meant it. But to be like, this is nonsense, that's when you have to have that moment of like, okay. And the reason it's nonsense is because as a white person, you have absorbed everybody else's culture. Like, it's just what it is. Like, you see yourself in a position where living life to you is absorbing other people's culture. You get your slang from black people. You get your clothing and styles of dress that you're interested in from inspirations from other cultures. Like, to you, you wouldn't consider that anything more than dress up when it's actually someone, maybe their religion. It could be someone like, you know, it could be someone's just, you know, their way of life. It could have something to do with the traditions in their homeland. It could be a lot, you know, but that's kind of what white people do. It's the reason they had a fucking long run of like white dudes getting tribal tattoos and shit. And you're like, yeah, you know why it's called a tribal tattoo? Because it's coming from a tribe. Right. You don't know shit about that life, you know. You just see it as a thing to put on for a second, same way you see it with these dreadlocks and shit. Now, all that being said, I don't really get mad at that shit, because it's like, one, I don't even know where y'all would draw the line. Y'all just, you like, you would have to be mad all the time. And also, I think that shit travels down the pipe, basically. So when Beyonce gets accused of doing it, people have a defense because they like her. When
it depends on who you are,
right? When Kendall Jenner gets accused of doing it, then people don't defend it because they don't like her. When it just depends on if you like motherfuckers or not. And to me, it seems like it's all kind of some bullshit. But what I know is not bullshit is the other way, saying black people appropriate from white people is fucking stupid, and advice, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you can make that argument among other groups, like, oh, black people can appropriate from Indian people and Indian people can appropriate from black people and shit like that. I just don't know when we call that sharing in culture, when we call that right. appreciation in culture, and when we just call it outright theft, you know?
Right, because the truth be told, yes, there is a lot of history behind appropriation or people's definition of it, but for a lot of people, they consider that, oh, I just like that and I just want to wear that. And truth be told, even black people do it without giving consideration of a culture. But when it's done to us, we are in outrage. But when we do it to other people as a group, we don't want to be pointed out for that flaw too, because it does happen. We do it to other people, but it's not a problem.
I mean, I've heard people say black women have appropriated culture by stealing quote unquote the slang of gay black men and gay black, you know, like, certain shit. I just, like, we're at a point now where everything's on paper, everything's right. written. There's always gonna be a blog somewhere that, you know, there's always gonna be someone that's fed up. And I think we're at a point now where you can make the legitimate argument to just about anything being appropriation if you feel so, you know. So I, you know, I don't know when people decide that they feel appreciated and when they decide they feel ripped off. And I don't know that everyone's on the same page with that. It's just a discussion that's constantly going to happen, because sometimes you can see a white person do some shit and you're just like, yeah, that guy's cool. It doesn't bother me that he, I don't know, used this slang, or he said, or he's a rapper, or he did whatever. And then there's some people where you're just like, I don't like that dude, so it does bother me on some level. And we keep trying to find this way to define it, when it seems to me, from everything I've read, to be more of an emotional thing. Like, despite people trying to put it in all this technical jargon, it mostly seems to be, I felt this way about right. this person doing it, I didn't feel that way about this other person doing it, and so on down the line, you know. At any rate, I just know the wrong response is to be like, y'all just some bullshit, y'all niggas making this nonsense up.
Right, and to me, that's when it becomes a problem, because the thing is, when it comes to privilege affects a lot of groups. Even marginalized groups, even oppressed groups, depend on your background and where you're from, you still have some form of privilege, even though you don't want to admit it and you don't want to see it all the time. And the thing is, once you call out on the privilege, even the tiny bit of privilege that you have, most people flip a fucking fool, because they don't want to be called out on theirs, but they want to constantly call out other people's.
Yeah, they just want to wear shit like a hat.
Right.
That's all. They don't want to have any appreciation or any role within that culture. They just want to wear it like a hat. And so it's when they come out and just flat out say it the way he did, on some like, it's you guys that's having a problem. Yeah, you're going to make people mad. But that's really, that to me, that's about the extent of it. And it's really just how much of a problem do people have with folks coming in trying to wear their shit as a hat and leave, you know, casting all white women as your models, when you were gonna put on some dreads on all these women. I don't even know what the fuck is wrong with them, because like, models for the most part have the same body type. Like, this
all
isn't
of
a,
them.
Like, this isn't even an industry where it's like, oh, like, white women in this industry look this way, but black women look totally different. Like, because y'all are so restrictive on my on body types anyway.
Y'all all are 6'2", 100 pounds.
Yeah, because y'all are so restrictive on body types, even if it was a black woman wearing a dress, the dress is gonna flow the same. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like a definitive exclusion, because what you thought was this is a unique idea of putting something black on someone white as far as the hair. That's my guess, you know, and that's why people feel that it's you know, offensive, you know, because you could have hired black women, but it's like, yeah, well, black women do have dreads. Meanwhile, these dreads are rainbow colored.
Come on,
you know, like you could have got.
Come on, and I think for me, the thing that pisses me off is that that's considered acceptable, but yet if somebody in the community that happened not to be a model, that happened to have a model shape, you flash up this, you be considered ghetto, right the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I don't know what his connection to the black community is. I know I've heard Marc Jacobs' name dropped in a couple hip-hop songs and shit. I have no idea what his, if there's any role that he plays within blackness, so we'll see. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, he get, yeah, the, yeah, that gets 100 to me.
Yeah, 100.
And his response, more right. than anything, not trying to be funny, it's fucked up, but his response was like, what are y'all niggas complaining about? Yeah, that get 100.
Yeah, it's really the calling and nonsense and shit that got him that 100, because, you know, it was mostly black people saying something, so he was like, fuck y'all, you know, I don't gotta worry about that. But yeah, as a concept, I don't know what you do about this. I don't even know. You know, it seemed like the kind of thing some people gonna just hold against him forever, and he probably not gonna care.
Oh no.
In Dallas, a black man broadcast police stop on Facebook Live, said he was targeted because he was black, but he accidentally filmed himself stashing some drugs. He was putting away a stash of cocaine in the driver's side door when the cops caught him on video.
Baby, should it camera angle turn right?
He was arrested on 11 charges, including drug possession. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see if I can play this video for you guys in the chat. Give me 1 second.
Did
here.
He have the camera angle turned in the wrong direction?
I don't know how this happened.
I meant to have it facing towards me, and
okay,
and
so I'm getting pulled over for sitting in the parking lot at the AutoZone because I didn't use it.
The cop is right there, by the way. Like, he's in the video with him.
Turn signal 100 feet. I'm not even moving, dog. Bro, I'm not committing a crime. I've just been sitting right here.
It is a violation of traffic.
But I'm just sitting here. I'm sitting at an AutoZone. What offense if I'm committing? Bro, you just drove by here 10 minutes ago. You went all the way down Walnut Hill and everything because I saw you go that way. And then you just happen to bust a U-turn to come all the way back around and say I didn't use no signal?
That's correct.
Sir, no. Man, no. Where's your sergeant at? Bring your sergeant out here. I'm not talking to you no more. I refuse to speak to you. I refuse to speak to you, sir. For what offense did I commit? I did not commit.
I do like how he said, I refuse to speak to you. The dude was like, we're going to have to take you out this car. Hold up now. I said I wasn't talking.
Any offense. I did not commit any offense. I don't have to listen to you. You are a public servant.
You don't have to listen to me.
I did not commit no offense. I'm just sitting in my car, minding my business, and you pull up on me, harassing me. Bro, I have not committed. Can I speak with your supervisor? Can I speak to your supervisor?
You bet I'll corroborate. I am corroborating though. Square business, bro. I know my.
Oh, people telling him on Facebook, because you can send messages at the live stream, like, hey, just cooperate with the dude, you know, rather than, you know, do this or whatever.
No, they ain't about to hem me up on no dumb shit like when I was a young. I know my rights, man. I know my rights. How you go, bro? This law passed me 10 minutes ago. I've been parked right here. I've been parked. just sitting here trying to see what part I'm going to get. And the next thing you know, I'm getting out the car and he behind me.
That ain't come on. I'm hungry. What's wrong with you? It's all in my pocket first before I get to tripping out even more on these hoes. See, I'm glad I did get out the car. They got a pocket full of all kind of shit. For real. Bro, what is they doing, bro? Hold on, I'm about to get out.
Getting out the car? Damn. Damn, they got four cops. Cars. Three cop cars. No, is that four? Mm-hmm. They got four cop cars out on this nigga.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't comply.
I know he was like, this shit
Black
got.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, nigga. Oh. No. No, he didn't. Sir. Damn. Black Lives Matter,
I
nigga.
I know they matter, but that shit is still funny.
Got me fucked up. Oh, there go another one.
Five cars.
And then there go another one. Damn, we got all the laws up here. My bum about to give revoked. On Walnut Hill and Harry Hines.
Oh, they asked where he was at. He also is, it's also weird because, like, he got keys in his hand and stuff. And I just keep, like, it's so weird that even in this interaction, I'm just more worried. I know he don't get shot or nothing. I'm still worried cops is going to kill him for getting out of the car, having his keys. Like, things that are perfectly legal, but it's, I'm so fearful for the lives of Black folks, man. Right. Even watching this video, it's almost like, man, I'm shocked they didn't do something because they seem to have just a itchy trigger finger.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ooh, I'm glad I can count. Hold on.
I'm glad I can count.
Hey. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Just roll down a little bit more.
So I feel safer with the window right there.
We're not bad guys here.
Man, I mean, the way your other guy just came at me and the reasonings and everything, I feel like my life in danger right now.
It's not.
So, like, my whole thing is, sir, I've been parked right here for 10 minutes before he got behind me. I was parked
here to do his right tickets.
Man, how you just gonna open my door?
You're under arrest.
How you just gonna open my door?
Get out of the vehicle.
What I'm under arrest for? But how you just gonna open my door like that?
Don't resist. It'll be a felony.
What charge. Is you talking about? What am arrest. I under? Can you tell me what I'm under arrest for?
Yes.
What I'm under arrest
traffic
for?
Violations.
What traffic violation?
Get out of the vehicle.
What traffic violation I'm under arrest?
Yeah.
Man, y'all tripping. Let me go. Come on.
Let me go. You was gonna have to go. It wasn't really a
choice at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't gonna. Yeah. So apparently, he ended up getting arrested anyway. And
drinks from a glass.
Oh
the
shit! What is happening?
Say was laced with cyanide.
This is not what I wanted to do. But yeah, he ended up getting arrested and charged with 11 charges, including drug possession.
Damn.
I guess when one. You know, the allegations that he hid some cocaine in the passenger side. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, that's where I'm at with the cops at this point, to be honest with y'all. But 0 to 100, Karen, do you feel fucked with?
Oh yeah, that's 100.
100 for you? Mm-hmm. Now why is it 100? Because of him, for the cops, for what?
Because it's one of those things where, my personal opinion, I think that they were not as aggressive, in my opinion, as they probably could have been. It was for the fact that somebody was like, oh, he recording. I just keep that real. They was like, you're off the screen.
I know.
They was like, we're not going to be the next Facebook Live death. So, you know, I really do think without him recording, it could have been worse. And it does sound like he was just sitting there. And they were just fucking with him.
It's weird because, like, if he had a traffic violation, that cop went above and beyond to get his ass. Like, 10 minutes. But, of course, I'm also assuming everything he's saying is true. I don't know.
Right. Don't know.
you know, this, but the idea of a cop seeing you make an illegal turn or something and then coming through, you know, 10 minutes later to get you as you parked at AutoZone. I guess both things could be true is what I'm saying. Like, okay. Yeah, he could have drugs and all that other shit. And he could also have been targeted because he was black. And it was like, we giving this nigga a ticket. Mm-hmm. Anyway, for me, I don't feel 100 fucked with. I don't know how, I would say I feel about 50. You know, I feel 100 that, it was like 100 that they probably targeted him and shit like that. And I definitely felt nervous for him the entire interaction. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, knowing that nigga did have coke in the car was kind of like, I guess, bruh. Like, it's like, I'm not gonna, like, I don't know what to tell you, dog. Like, mm-hmm. You going to jail.
Yeah, that's on you.
They didn't hurt you. It don't seem like they did anything illegal. Unless you're gonna say they planted it or something. I don't know what the next stage is for this, but I'm glad that, you know, if you have to get arrested, I'm glad you got arrested and not, you know, fucked up or anything. At American University, investigating after black students say they had a banana thrown at her and another one had a rotting banana put outside her door. A black female student at American University reported that a banana was thrown at her through her dorm room door earlier this month, and the school's investigating two white male freshmen in connection with the incident.
And people wonder why these universities are like, hey, if you choose to, we have a place that you can be around people of minorities if you choose to. Like, this is the shit that happens.
Yeah, affinity spaces. Which people keep labeling the segregation and segregated groups because they don't know the history of this country or what segregation actually means. Just another.
This was not forced. This is optional. Yeah.
I had a black dude ask me that on Twitter yesterday. Like, isn't this the same segregation? I said, no. And that was the only response because it was just being stupid.
Right. It's not the same. This was not forced. They didn't have to be there. All optional.
Let me know when they force white people into white only dorms and give them substandard
living arrangements
and amenities. Let me know when that happens. Let me know when they give secondhand textbooks to white kids. Let me know when that happens. But 100 for me. I don't even really need to get into the fucking details of this because I kind of it goes right in hand with the second story. You know what I'm saying? A Kansas State student got kicked out of school after sending a Snapchat wearing a black clay mask, with the caption, "Feels good to finally be a nigger." ER. She posted a Snapchat that showed her wearing a black mud mask with a racial slur in the caption. The picture, which shows Paige Shoemaker and her friend Sadie Meyer, wearing L'Oreal clay face mask, was captioned, "Feels good to finally be a nigger." Shoemaker says she would have been a senior at KSU this year, but was informed by administrators this week that she's no longer a student after the Snapchat debacle.
They don't want them problems.
The snap got the attention of the Twitterverse on Thursday after it was posted by a KSU student named Desmond, who identified Shoemaker as the original sender. By the way, someone told me on Twitter, she was like, yeah, as long as they kick her friend, that dude, the guy out too. Yeah, it's two white women. Both of them white women. Ain't
y'all.
No guy to get kicked out of this. Mm-hmm. And yes, both of their ass need to go. Mm-hmm. Paige and Sadie Meyer. She said she was kicked out of Kansas State U after sending a Snapchat which shows her wearing clay mask. You know, actually, no, I take that back. I think she needs to go, but the school might have a hard time proving the second one needs to go. So she didn't take the snap and didn't caption it.
And it wasn't connected to her page.
Yeah, they might have a harder time proving that.
Which makes sense.
I think she was, looking at the picture, I think she was in on it, throwing up the west side of shit. But you can't prove that. Because someone could do this theoretically to any of us where we take a picture and then they post it with a caption and it's some like, I didn't agree to any of this shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It seemed like, okay, I thought it was cute and funny, but nah, I wasn't here for the phrase.
Theoretically. I still believe she knew.
I think they was all in cahoots together.
My gut says she knew. Anyway.
Come on, dog.
Welcome to Kansas State University, where breakfast in the morning is some K-State family with a side of racism. Read the post, which was retweeted more than 15,000 times in one day. A screen grab of the Snapchat was also posted on the official Facebook page of Kansas State University, where it continued to spread like wildfire. Shoemaker publicly apologized for the picture in a post of her Facebook page, but claimed that her and Meyer were not wearing blackface. We clearly understand what was said and done was completely disrespectful.
How the fuck did you do it then?
I did want to inform everyone that it is not blackface, but it was L'Oreal clay facial mask.
Give a fuck.
Motherfucker, it's blackface. You put "it feels good to be a nigger," you made it blackface in that moment. The moment you snapped that picture and then put "nigger," it left no doubt. Might as well be shoe polish. Mm-hmm. We never intended for the picture to offend anyone.
Don't believe you.
Because we didn't intend for no black people to see it.
Alright, don't believe you, ma'am.
We had only meant for it to be taken in a funny way, but we clearly understand that what we said should never be joked around about. People shouldn't joke around about such a serious topic like this because it feeds into racism.
Yeah, because I got
nigga,
caught.
You're not feeding racism, you the racism main course. You prepared the meal of the racism, okay? You the black apron of the situation. Ask anyone who knows us, we are the most accepting and least racist people. I'm going to go on a limb and say probably not.
Right.
I'm going to go on a limb and say probably not the least racist. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's got to be white folks.
Because you wouldn't have done this.
Who I would just classify as less racist and more accepting.
Right.
We know that we will ride up and learn from this mistake, she said.
You sure will, sweetie.
We will be better and make sure to do more than someone who is a true racist. A true racist.
You mean the racist that don't get caught?
What is a true the true racist, the real racist. Really, shouldn't we be focused on the real racist? We will battle everyone for the right to make things right because we know what we did was wrong. Everyone for the right to make things right? Wow, this is stupid. Shoemaker also said she believed the picture was a joke that had been taken way out of proportion. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that this is a good thing. That word just happens in our friend group.
Which means your fucking friends are racist too, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me guess. Friend group of white folks?
Right, I was thinking, ain't no niggas in this group, right? No brown people whatsoever. No minorities are in this group.
We know everyone is like calm. We're a big family. That word doesn't offend anyone in our group. Yeah. Okay. Your white group. And when I sent it out to my friends, I knew that it wouldn't offend anyone. We did it for our friends. It's more of a joke.
And I bet y'all her friends was like, bitch, no, I don't got nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Even if they are racist, they don't want them problems either.
Yeah. So she got kicked out of school, you know.
And you know what? She's white.
It's wild because that's the internet now. It's like, and somebody was like, yeah, but should they have got expelled? Because it just gives a lot of white people a reason to feel good about their racism, but they still harbor the same beliefs. Yes, she should get kicked out. Because what are you proposing? Nothing happened to her?
And it's going to be a problem her walking around a university.
Yeah, I mean, no. Fuck that. I don't care about that problem. I'm saying, not that it doesn't... That doesn't bother me. If she gets harassed for being in the university, I don't give a fuck. You said some racist shit in public, and people might want to let you know to your face.
Right.
Fuck that part. Right? That's the school doing it for the school's benefit of not, right, of not safety and shit. Not what I'm bothered. The part that bothers me in all this shit is people, they love to get like riled up and say this is racist, this is wrong, or this person should be punished. Then the second a punishment comes down, it's all of a sudden everybody want to turn to fucking Gandhi. All of a sudden everybody, when someone gets the punishment they deserve, which is just, hey, we don't want you to go to our university, we have black people here and we don't want racist
black faculty
here.
Black staff, no ma'am.
Right. Now what bothers me on this shit is, on the one hand, motherfuckers want to rush past the punishment phase and get right to, well, really, what's the real lesson that's going to be learned here? I don't care if the lesson is learned to not be racist or if the lesson is learned to not be overtly racist where people can see it.
Right.
I'll take both of those lessons.
I will too.
The other part of it that is extremely disheartening is, as Karen alluded to, this is why people are like, I want a dorm away from white people, because being I'm forgetting the name of the professor who said this on Twitter, and I don't know if she listened to this anyway, but she said this is, and it was a white lady, but she was like, and this is why diversity isn't the same as inclusion. And I said, this is why people want those separate dorms. Like, because I shouldn't have to, as a black student, experience this because I'm in college. It's why I don't agree with Aisha Tyler's take on the whole toughen up. We don't need to toughen our kids up with racism.
I just want
to
be a goddamn student. I am not trying to fight for civil rights.
The same way I don't want women to go to college and need to toughen up with being raped and sexually assaulted and shit. I don't want black kids to go to college and need to toughen up with having to deal with racism and shit like that. You know, I saw Howard this weekend. Everybody on the flag team, on the cheerleader team, and the football team went to one knee during the national anthem. And that's the best argument for why I love HBCUs and why I love, you know, why my experience there can never be just duplicated anywhere else. But the point being is that it's not a measure of toughness to have to deal with the abuse. You know, this is the place that these kids just want to get an education.
Right.
Throwing a fucking banana at me. I got to share a dorm with somebody that's I'm a nigger. Ha ha ha. That's not a conducive environment for me to be educated. The mental stress and the toll it takes on people is why you end up with these higher dropout rates and shit. It's not because black kids can't do the work. Of course they can do the work. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? This is one of the reasons, like, and in a world where we're leading, specifically black women are leading and creating their own businesses. In a world like that, you don't need to tell people you're just gonna have to start dealing with the inevitability and accepting racial abuse. Stop telling kids that shit. Fuck that. Fight where you're at. You know, fight at your school. Get these motherfuckers kicked out. Get these, you know, investigate that shit with that banana. Get your own dorm if you got to. The point being, you deserve and are entitled to that space the same way everybody else that spent their money to be there is. You know, it shouldn't be, seen as equals, and it shouldn't be seen as both sides have a point when it comes to racism, because that's what happens. People start arguing about safe spaces and trigger warnings. They get so riled up over very ideas. The idea that you wouldn't want a certain type of speaker or a certain type of comedian to come to your school and shit like that. They get so riled up about that shit. But it's not equal and opposite. Every idea does not carry the same value. Every idea doesn't carry the same weight. And just because someone has an opposite opinion doesn't make it a valuable fucking opinion. It's not like racism can be valued because someone believes in it as much as someone else believes in inclusion. Get the fuck out of here, man. It's sad to see people take that tack, but that tells you about privilege and how little they have left to discuss.
Right.
When you're sitting up there trying to make the argument for why people need to be in abusive environments. And honestly, like, whenever I've read about safe spaces and trigger warnings and shit like that on college campuses, it's some hippie shit. It's not even some, like, you won't get an education today. It's all just like, yeah, man, we just trying to make it a more conducive environment for learning and, you know, get rid of some, you know, basically educate people on their privilege, educate people. That's what college is for, education. It's just including concepts. Concepts like racism are all around us and taught and given to us ad nauseum. The idea that, like, well, you're going to have a space where you're protecting people from dealing with this? Yeah, we are. Problem? You know what I mean? That's essentially what they're saying. Like, yeah, we don't want David Duke speaking at our university.
No.
These fucking entitled, pampered college kids. They don't want to deal with the real world. Like, man, get the fuck out of here. I'm not paying $20,000 a semester for y'all to go out and get some fucking racist bigot to come in here and speak to my school. I don't want to be a part of that. And guess what? I'm a customer. I spend money here.
Come on, this thousands isn't, of dollars.
Yeah, college has been stopped doing people favors with this education. Everyone should treat their college experience like something you paid for, because you are and will be paying for it for a long time for the most part. So students should teach that shit. They should treat that shit like customer service. Like, nah, man, I don't like this. It will make me feel better if our class did this way and that way, you know. And college isn't about the real world. Newsflash.
No.
It's not. You got the rest of your life and the life before this to deal with the quote unquote real world. College is not about that. College is about educating yourself. It's about thought experiments. It's about theory. It's not about toughening up. And especially when you put toughening up in the idea of dealing with racism and bias and bigotry and shit like that. That's not toughening anybody. That's like, if anything, that's eroding people, you know. Make, like, let people for once just have like a ability to have like to at least attempt to detoxify their space and to have some type of like a most leveled playing field you can get is one where you're saying, listen, this person is black and the distraction that they have to deal with the most is racism on campus. What can we do to stop that? That's all. Yeah, is at a college, you know. Is it sad because when white people hear that, a lot of white people feel like, oh, you're now infringing on my right to be bigoted, you know. Guys, when guys hear about the idea of learning classes on consent and the idea of schools treating rape accusations seriously, they go, what rights am I losing now? They don't think to themselves, what rights are these other people gaining that they never had before? Everyone just thinks about themselves. Just, oh, I'm a, yeah. So if y'all take her accusation seriously and start investigating me, or y'all kick me out of school, what about me? It's like, well, if you're a fucking rapist, you probably should be out of school. I don't know.
Right.
Go to
don't
a different,
rape.
Yeah. Maybe don't rape anybody. Oh man, Jesus Christ, these safe
don't
spaces.
Don't put yourself in a situation where you could be accused of rape, the same thing you tell the victims.
Yeah, it's just such a, it's just so sad to see that shit happening. But that's what that both those stories, obviously 100 for me, both those stories made me think of that. And I'm glad the university kicked her out. So, you know, when I say 100, I just mean I'm fucked with by the fact that there's so many people in society that feel like black kids owe it to themselves to be in these spaces and deal with this shit as some measure of fucking toughness. That's all.
Like,
I actually think this university did the right thing. And if I was just scoring them by themselves in this story, then, you know, they get a zero. I don't feel fucked with it at all. I love that the Kansas State was like, yo ass gotta go, Becky. That's a much better treatment than many, many universities have in the past.
Yeah, and also it's one of those things when it comes to college students, white people are allowed to be college students. Black children are not allowed to be college students. We can't be between the ages of, 17 to 23, 24, and just go and just enjoy college and enjoy our experience and live and learn. You know, we have to be the ones constantly standing up for our rights and protesting and dealing with racism. We're just supposed to deal with it. But when you white, you are quote unquote allowed to have a college experience.
Yeah,
instead of you know, black children just want to be students too. All black children don't want to quote unquote fight for the cause. They just want to be a student and learn.
I don't think it should be required for you to have to become some type of militant ass kid just because you went to Harvard or whatever. You know, it's sad, you know, that it's done that way, but the mental toll is too much for some people. And also, it's not truly an equal college experience when that's what you got to worry about. You know, college is a stressful enough time for folks, and then you're gonna add in this fact that, oh yeah, and you might be racially abused for 4 to 5 years. Hey, you know, as you do, you know, as it happens. The last thing I'll add to it is, like I said, this is why when kids go to HBCUs, and people start spouting all this ignorant, stupid rhetoric about anti-HBCU, anti-blackness and shit like that, this is one of the reasons that kids go to HBCUs. Shit like this. These stories that are so common, I could read one every fucking day of this show. Like, yeah, some kids just don't want to worry about this. You know? Some kids just want to go to school and be like, here's a place where I don't have to think I'm going to get a fucking banana thrown at me and go, which one of these many, many, many white people in my dorm just did that?
Yeah, everybody's gonna be quiet and nobody's gonna say a word because, you know, they're all the same to me.
Yeah, and who is this indicative of? Who else agrees with this sentiment? Who else thinks this is funny? You know? It's that kind of shit, you know? Like, it's not like someone saw somebody throw a banana and tackled that motherfucker and said, hey, I got him right here. Let's take him down to the, you know, police, the campus police or something. Nah, it's just, oh, those two dudes are assholes and I don't have to worry about it because I'm not black.
Right. And
you know?
And it's also, it's one of those things when they come to college, students, like we said before, they should have the freedom just like everybody else to choose the way they want to go. But what people fail to realize, because a lot of these incidents is happening and a lot of black children are paying attention to Black Lives Matter and shit like that, they were saying that across the country, more black children are actually applying to HBCU. Like, they've had a spike in the past like a few years that they've never had before, because a lot of people are like, hey, you know what, I kind of want to be around my people and I should have that choice to do that if I want to.
Yeah, when you just hear people say, like, it's just a joke to me after saying I finally feel like a nigger or something. Yeah, man, it's not a joke to people that live that existence. So, you know, I don't want to share a dorm with you. I don't want to share a classroom with you. And it's not the same as when white people just don't want black people around for being black, or when men don't want women around for being women, or when straight people don't want gay people around for being gay. Those two things are not equal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, saying I don't want a bigot in here isn't the same as saying, well, I don't want someone gay in here. That, and the fact that people treat the discussion as if those are two equally valid sides, that compromise right there is the reason Jimmy Fallon is fucking shuffling for Donald Trump on national TV and acting like it's adorable while the Roots sit there in silence like, is this motherfucker serious? That's the shit that isn't cool, you know? Because it's a game to certain folks, but it's our lives to us. So it's not, you know, it's pardon us if we're not kikiing and laughing and finding this shit to be so fucking amusing. You know, I remember a long time ago, at this point might have been over a year now, when I was listening to the Lincoln Top Hat podcast or whatever. It's a podcast about politics, and it was three white people on there, and they were talking about how much they don't like Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump's the most interesting person in the race, and he has such personality, and if we could have one person from the entire, you know, dais of Republican and Democratic candidates, who would we want to have in here to talk to? And they all picked like Donald Trump, and it was all supposed to be cute. And I turned off that show and I never turned it back on because I was fucking furious. Because to a lot of people, it is a joke. They don't care and they don't have to deal with it. And
they don't take it seriously.
Yeah. And it's fun to hate Hillary Clinton because she's a woman and she's uptight and she's stiff and all this other shit, which also is probably why she's gonna do the job better than a lot of other people would, and also partially how she's had to manufacture her image over 20 years of scrutiny. She's going to be that way. And then when she has a genuine moment of like calling Trump supporters deplorable, motherfuckers jump down her throat for 2 weeks like she just fucking said the most ridiculous thing ever, while we marvel at the racial incidents that happen at his fucking meetups every week, and the media somehow doesn't put it together that, oh, this is racism, these people are racist, and this candidate represents racism, but don't say he's deplorable. You know, I've tried not to even talk about this shit because honestly I know where I'm voting, and this shit has gotten ridiculous to the point where every day he says something, it's like an onion headline. But watching Jimmy Fallon do that, I saw people saying like, well, what are y'all expecting to do? He's a comedian, man. You have him on, that's what you do. And I said, yeah, that's cool. You know, I understand that. Yeah, you got a job to do to be funny, and you book this guest and you're going to try to paint him in a positive light. I'm not even against that. What I'm saying is, who picks who gets to be a fucking guest?
Come on, dawg. You don't have to bring him on your show.
Yeah, just say no. You know, and I know that there's like an equal, you know, there's an equal sharing thing or whatever, where it's like, if you have the one candidate on, you gotta have the other one on or whatever. So if you want Hillary on, you have to have Trump at some point. Yeah, say no to both then.
Right.
Or when he comes on, you just go, we're not gonna do some cutesy bullshit. And I'm not going to do a hard-hitting interview with, you know, whatever. Just But the point is, you don't have to do shit. Jimmy Fallon is the same show that was requiring guests on his show to sign agreements that they wouldn't do other late night shows. So let's not act like he's powerless, okay? Let's not act like that platform means nothing. It's the addiction that many people in the media just have to Trump, to treating him as the spectacle and enjoying the, you know, basking in the just the attention that you get for talking about him and the attention that you get for having him on. You know, Dr. Oz has him on. They're all fucking complicit in the racist being fucking legitimized. They're all complicit. Like, it was bad enough that it's half the country with one political party legitimizing this bigot. It's even worse when you turn on TV and you're supposedly fair-minded to liberal folks, especially white folks, are the ones that are like, ha ha ha, it's all just funny to us. You know, that shit is sad, man. You know, you don't see Joy Reid treating it like this. You know what I mean? You don't see these black, every day I swear I see another clip of Joy A. and Reid being like, what you not gonna do to some idiot Trump surrogate, you know, because they don't even have positions. They just call them surrogates, like they're fucking birthing they're holding the embryos of his fertilized embryos of racism inside of them and bigotry inside of them, and they're just like surrogates that go on TV and birth these things. And these fucking, and so many people in the media give them a spotlight and treat their opinion so seriously. So at any rate, man, my point to all this shit, coming back to the dorm shit, the students and stuff, so much of this is just a game for a lot of folks who don't have to deal with it.
Come on.
But it is serious to us, and that's why
it's shits and giggles, and you go, nah, none of this shit is funny, dog.
Yeah, that's why you get 100 for Becky with the fucking racism and all that shit. All these motherfuckers get 100 today.
Yes, they do.
Sorry, that was such a long rant, didn't mean to go on that. Let's let's cleanse our palates with some white people news, okay, guys? Is that was not, none of that was intended, okay? I did not know. I really wasn't even planning to talk about Trump on purpose, because, you know, he's just a terrible human being. All right, let's see. What are white people into these days? How about this?
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got new addictions for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live a crazy life, or she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Upside, inside out,
living la vida loca.
She'll push and pull you down.
Living la vida loca. Give me la vida loca. Give me la vida loca.
Give
me la vida loca. Man, they was into that for about a summer in the 90s. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker was everywhere.
Everywhere, shaking them hips.
Mm-hmm. White people was like, I like Latin people now. And then Trump came along there. He's like, get the fuck out of my country, Rick Martin.
You got to go.
You're bringing here your hips seducing us. You and the hips don't lie, girl. The hips do lie. You're taking the jibs. Kelsey Grammer, 61 years old, and his wife, Kate. Is this K-A-Y-T-E? Is it Katie or Kate? Kate Walsh. Man, she said her name like a Game of Thrones character or something.
Ah!
know, like white people are, I'm telling you, white people, rich white people and poor black people got a lot in common. That's all I'm saying.
They do got a lot of common.
And I don't know how you pronounce this woman's name. I'm gonna just go with Kate. Anyway, he's married. He's 61. She's 35. They arrived at a London airport amidst rumors that they are expecting their third child. That's right. He looked in good spirits when they arrived at London's Heathrow Airport with his wife and two youngest children. He cut a sharp figure as he arrived at Terminal 5. Wearing gray jeans, a navy t-shirt, and a blazer, he pulled along his designer luggage as he made his way through the airport. Yo, it really don't matter how woke a dude is. If you rich, you gonna get you a, like, 30-year younger wife, man. That's just come with the starter kit. I think it just come with the starter kit for richness. It's like, dudes just decide, like,
your wifey's got to outlive you.
All right, I'm never interested in nothing that was... No woman that was alive to get my jokes should be fucking me. You know? You know how many references he probably bring up? She's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
I know nothing. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway. Just the good old boys. What are you talking about, Kelsey?
No. What does that got to do with anything?
Anyway, going back to the club. Boosh, right. Boosh. Y'all don't get tired chasing after them? Do y'all Netflix and chill? What is going on?
No, maybe it's just me. Shit, you get to a certain age of old, you're like, who got the energy to do this? Young people fuck all day and then want to go to the club all night, and you're like, nah, dog, I fucked. It's time for a nap.
Yeah, I just like curling up with a good book. I like popping, eating, going to the club.
And getting blackout drunk, don't you? No, I'm old. My body can't take that. My liver will die.
But I guess for a young person, it's easier to chill with a rich person, you know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, I don't gotta go to the club if we can live in your mansion and do shit, go on vacations and shit.
Yeah, so. Make your house the club. What are we talking about?
But hey, man, it's just a coincidence. Every rich older man just happens to keep falling in love with women half their age. It's just coincidence, y'all. I don't know. What it's crazy. What AI say is funny to me too. I gotta find my clip, man. Yeah, like AI.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me too. I mean, it's strange to me too.
Yeah. Haley Baldwin breaking white people news. She bleached her eyebrows for a fashion show before dyeing them dark again hours later.
Aw, shit, though.
Scandalous.
She wants to fool somebody, because for most people know this. I don't know. Most people might not know this, but if you ever
that's how scandalous it was. Go ahead.
If you ever looking at a woman's hair color and you want to know if it's her hair or not, look at her eyebrows. Your eyebrows are normally your true hair color.
Normally. Yeah. Unless you dye them.
Unless that, yeah, a lot,
like
right.
Haley Baldwin did. That's why right. It's so scandalous, Karen. That's right. Why.
And that was a trick. She dyed them to trick people.
That's why we talking about this. This is some big news right here. Strutting on the runways from New York to London, she had to adapt to an array of different looks. Haley Baldwin even went as far as bleaching her signature eyebrows. The signature eyebrows, y'all.
Ooh.
It's like that steak and Ruby Tuesdays.
What does signature eyebrows look like? You got a picture of her?
They look like regular ass eyebrows to me.
Okay, because you know I don't know who this white woman is.
It's not like Anthony Davis in the NBA, where he's known as the brow. The 19-year-old took to social media to show her fans her dedication as a model before going back.
How she gonna have a signature eyebrow if she only 19?
Right? They're bleaching my eyebrows, she said on Snapchat. The daughter of Stephen Baldwin, who recently touched down in London after a chaotic week at New York Fashion Week, went on Snapchat as she prepared for her back-to-back catwalk shows. While getting her hairstyle, she gave a sneak peek into the process as stylists applied bleaching cream to her dark brunette eyebrows. So she appropriated blonde eyebrows. That is what Marc Jacobs say about this. Haley later posted a picture on Instagram to her 7.4 million followers with the caption, LOL, only for you at KA Grand Hashtag bleach brows at baby babe at B-A-B-B-Y-M. So then after she did that, oh, they really did a number on her eyebrows. Like they tried to do like some type of, I don't even know what that is they did to her eyebrows. What is that?
I don't know.
Like they painted like the inside colors? Black. Yeah. I guess you love the game.
What eyebrows look accent? Wow, what's happening here?
And then afterwards she got them bleached back to regular brown. So just a big day for Haley. Just you know. Mm. Pray for her, y'all. If you're the praying kind, pray for her eyebrows, because hopefully they can just make it through this.
And they don't fall out from you just killing them with them with that color.
Mm-hmm. And White People News is brought to you by Bevel. I hope you know that. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. The way that you feel less irritated when we cover White People News, that's how your skin will feel less irritated when you shave with Bevel. Shaving with the white man's razor, the white devil razor, it feels like that whole fucking with Black People segment, but on your skin, on your face, on your neck. It's just constantly on that. But when you shave with Bevel, it's like your whole body is White People News. Your whole facial area is just talking about who dyed eyebrows, if you show up to the airport with your family. It's that kind of lightness, but on your face. In order to get this type of peace and serenity on your face, go to getbevel.com and use code TBGWT and get 20% off. That's getbevel.com, GETBEVEL.com. All right, Natalie Portman, her choreographer husband is in hot water over spiraling claims. What do you think? What do you think he did, Karen? He's in hot water now. What do you think Natalie Portman's husband did to get himself in hot water? Chat room, what do you think he did? Karen, too slow to guess.
Another woman? I don't know.
Karen says an affair. Karen's going with an affair. Okay. The chat room says fucking the babysitter, says Arrogant Demon. Okay. That will put somebody in hot water. I agree. That will put somebody in hot water. Didn't use mayo on his sandwich, says EVE. Well, that's also a pretty good one. That's a good guess.
Didn't put enough cheese in the grilled cheese sandwich.
That's a good guess. Left socks on the floor, says Matt D. The correct answer is apparently he has been spending too much money on taxis and dining out by the Paris Opera Ballet bosses. So his Paris Opera Ballet bosses have said, hey, you're in hot water, buddy. You've been spending a lot of money on these taxis and going out to eat. And these are some very large expense bills that you are asking us to do, and you are possibly misusing taxpayers' money with 10 senior figures spending 85,000 euros a year just on transport. He's in hot water. That's why he's in hot water, Karen. Natalie Portman's husband.
About a vehicle.
Yeah. Choreographer Benjamin Millipede. Really? Who was married to actor Natalie Portman.
I have a question. So when he used the Uber, he was like, nah, I don't want the regular ass Ubers. I want the specialty fleet of Ubers.
They said taxis. Maybe he's using taxis. Maybe it's more expensive. Maybe that's why.
Oh, so he's using the long taxis?
I don't know if he's using long taxis. I just know he's using taxis. He's a white man, so they definitely stopping.
Come on.
He is married to actor Natalie Portman, Mr. Benjamin Millipede, who sounds like he doesn't have 1,000 legs to stand on. He has come under fire for allegedly claiming large expenses bills whilst in Paris in the Opera Ballet. Mr. Millipede, 39, a French dancer and choreographer, resigned as director of dance at the Paris Opera Ballet in 2016 after his plans to modernize the ballet repertoire were shunned. He is most widely known for his work in the movie Black Swan, released in 2010, where he met his wife to be Natalie Portman. Oh, that's nice. I love that movie. I bet it was the scene where that woman from Family Guy was going down on her. He was probably like, I'm gonna marry this bitch. Everybody in the gym had a dig in their hands. Oh, this is a good scene. Oh yeah, Natalie. Then they got married. She was like, I don't do that, nigga. I was acting.
you, for the cameras.
You really wouldn't let you really wouldn't let some hot chick just go down on you? I mean, for the millions of dollars I was acting, yes, in not real life. The accusations come from France's audit body, the Cour des Comptes. We all know this. We all know the Cour des Comptes. Duh. Which claims Paris opera directors have misused public funds on taxis, restaurants, food, and transport. It says in 2013 and 2014, about 10 senior officials spent 85,000 euros and about 100,000 euros per year just on taxis. The report criticizes staff, including Mr. Millipede, for having a car and a chauffeur and expense they deem not justified. Well, maybe y'all should have hired Mr. Centipede then. He wouldn't have as many legs to carry around. That's a lot of walking. In an interview with La Parisienne, Paris of opera deputy director Jean-Philippe Thielet, who arrived in August 2014, insisted the new management had drawn the right conclusions and turned the screw on improper practices. But when asked about the $50,000 office renovation, Mr. Thielet added, "We moved a partition wall, and I don't think it's wrong to want to change the carpet." So he was like, "Oh, my shit? No. See, the money we spent on my shit was cool. But these motherfuckers can start getting at least a Uber, a Lyft, or something." Okay, that shit is different.
They Uber and they Lyft.
Right. Les Uber.
Les Lyft. Oh, however you pronounce it.
We're bastardizing it enough. That's good. But the criticism comes amid wider claims of abuse of expenses in the Paris art world. The audit report revelations have been called tragic and embarrassing by the French press. A spokesman for Mr. Millipede said this audit report was issued for 2013 and 14. Ben did not take over the Paris Opera until the end of the following year, November 2014, the following season. Nigga. At any rate, what's going on with the white people news, guys? All right, so we can either do one more white people news or we play a little bit of Guess the Race because we gotta get ready for football. Which one would you prefer?
Let's do Guess the Race.
All right, you guys got it. Karen says we're gonna do some Guess Another Race. I have some more good races, good white people news too.
You sure?
But we can get to it tomorrow.
Okay, we can do it tomorrow. Okay,
yeah, it's just me and you tomorrow as well, so you know, we'll have time to be silly and no football game will be making us rush.
I know, right?
All right, now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room and Karen, to guess the race, and they're all racist. All right. A man who didn't get a teaching job is accused of sending dead animals to a school.
White.
That was quick. An Indiana man who authorities say mailed dead animals to a school fabricated stories of sex abuse and made death threats because he didn't get a desired job. He was charged Tuesday, according to court documents. Travis Terrence, 40 years old, was reportedly upset he wasn't hired for fourth grading teaching position.
Not the fourth grade.
And basketball coach. That's what we need to have around the kids. So he harassed the man who was hired as well as the man's fiance.
Oh, Lord.
He called the Department of Child Services several times, claiming the man hired for the job was having sex with the underage students and sexually abusing his fiance's daughter. He also sent letters to the man and the man's fiance. One included a photo of the male genitals. He allegedly sent four dead skunks and a dead raccoon in the mail. Most were intercepted, but one made it to the school district administrator's building.
Can't be killing Pepe Le Pew.
He killed four skunks and a raccoon. How did he even kill him? The station also reported that both victims, the man and his fiance, received voicemails threatening to kill the fiance and her baby. He was charged with stalking, intimidation, and criminal mischief in Jackson Circuit Court. All because he didn't get a job. Karen, you sticking with white?
Yes, I am.
Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White, Glow Cloud, Mayo Boy, white, but animals are people too, white. White has the faint scent of wet dog, white. Faint scent. A black man would have cared about not getting, wouldn't have cared about not getting the job, white. Sounds like something a cocky would do. Everybody's going white on this one, and everybody, you got it correct. Good job, everyone. Let me put him in the chat so y'all can see what he looks like. Is it moving slow or is it just me?
It's moving slow, baby.
All right. Let me try it one more time. For some reason, screen share didn't want to work. All right. Do this one more time. Wait, check my camera and mic. For what, nigga? It's already working. Am I on screen?
I see you moving in real time.
Anyway, y'all was right. He white. I don't know why it won't let me screen share with y'all at this moment. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can get it to work this time. Share. Man, it didn't work.
Ah!
I don't know what's happening, guys. All right. Well, y'all got it right.
Maybe they're ready for football, too.
Yeah. Crowdcast like, man, don't you got some shit to do?
Right, I'm trying to get my lineup straight. Why aren't you getting yours straight?
Yeah, all right. Well, then let's just get the sword ratchetness and get the hell on out of here, guys. Man 37 attacks a park gazebo with a samurai sword. What the fuck a park gazebo do to you, buddy?
Ah!
Look at you out there gazeboing and shit. Fuck, I hate your time. He's facing charges after police say he attacked the gazebo at Warwick Park with a samurai sword. 37-year-old Andrew Rich was arrested Monday. He's charged with vandalism, disorderly conduct, and having a prohibited weapon. Authorities say they were initially called to the park for a report of two people sword fighting. Two? What?
Ha, ha, ha!
The fuck happened to the other person? Did he cut his head off and inherit all his powers? What kind of Duncan McLeod ass shit is this? Police say Rich was taken into custody after he was found to be striking posts in the gazebo with a sword. 40-year-old Jessica Cole was also arrested in charge of disorderly conduct and having a prohibited weapon. So she was the other Highlander. Police say she had a police-style baton. Oh, so it wasn't a sword. It's unclear if Rich and Cole have lawyers. They don't. Just trust me.
No. Well, you out here protecting people from the sun and shit, gazebo.
Right. You gotta go.
That poor gazebo.
All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with more of whatever this was today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Until
me
then,
too.
I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.